You get what I'm saying? We're not accidentally saved. We don't just slip and fall and like, oh, I'm in heaven. No, it's like we know. So part of the ministry is to build up the body of Christ. So, you know, I always take advantage of those situations where it's like even a person calls himself a Christian, I'm still going to ask you a couple questions, you know what I'm saying, because I love you and I care about you. I think a lot of us, you know, kind of when we hear somebody say, I'm a Christian, we just accept that. Well, guess what? You know, there's many different people that call themselves that, you know, and at the end of the day, their soul may still be on the line. So we up here having a conversation with them and, you know, just broke down salvation, how a person, you know, repentance unto salvation, you know, and they didn't even know that, you know, and it's like a rehabilitation center up in like Vancouver or something like that. It's actually pretty cool little setup what they got going on. So we're sitting out there talking and, you know, they just getting blown up, you know, they're asking me all these different questions and, you know, I'm just, you know, and finally we end up praying and it was just like, man, you felt like fire fall down. Like, I mean, they were there. We was just, you know, right in front of Walmart. I know people was probably staring like that, you know. So, and then I walk into Walmart and we're going down the hall or down the little aisle or whatever. I forgot even what we were there for. But we walk in and this dude had an upside down star on his leg with a circle, a pentagram, you know, and then on the bottom they had an upside down cross. So as I'm coming in, I like so happen to like at the corner of my eye see the back of his leg. So I started talking to Shaylin about what that is. And I was like, that's Luciferian. That's like full-blown satanic, we worship the devil type of tattoo, you know. And some guy, he's like walking down the aisle, and he heard me say the devil, you know. And he like stopped. And he like looked at us. And then, you know, he kind of heard what we were saying. He was like, I'm a Christian, you know. And I was like, well, cool, we are too. So I started talking to him. And this dude, you could tell he was in need of deliverance. You know, he had a lot of strongholds and stuff that he had going on. And we were able to just sit there and minister to him, you know. And then I prayed for him. And it was like, I seen all this jitteriness because he was asking me all these questions. Like, well, can Christians have demons? And all this different stuff was going on with him. And after I prayed for him, he like just literally just like relaxed, you know. And as we're doing that, then like there's this big crowd of people just starting to surround us in Walmart, you know. And it ended up being her family. And it was just like a weird situation. You know, so for like, we spent like, what, an hour probably at Walmart just, and we didn't even get anything. I don't even know what we got. But glory be to God because, you know, just being vocal about your faith, even if you're not necessarily preaching or, you know, actually sharing the gospel, but just not being private with your relationship with Jesus, you know, really just brings an awareness. And, you know, like I said, the guy, he just, and this is a key thing I want to just point out is how God can use this dude. I don't know the guy that had the tattoo on his leg, but obviously that's demonic. You know, I pray to God that that's old stuff when he was a kid. But that conversation about that dude, so that dude participated in whatever he did, got that tattoo, sparked the conversation of me and her walking in Walmart off of that, and then a guy ended up coming to me, and I'm actually going to be taking him through deliverance Friday. You know, so how that just happened, God used somebody who practiced in the occult to, you know, possibly, and pray for his name is Roy, to set the captive free over here. So it was just an amazing little thing, man. I thought that was pretty cool. So what I'm going to be talking about today is something that, you know, has been talked about a lot in my home lately. I talked to Javier about it and stuff like that. And that's just, you know, enduring suffering. You know, that's what the Lord kind of put on my heart because we go through it, y'all. We go through it, you know. I don't care where you are in your walk. You know, if you're in the walk, you're going to go through some things, you know. So one thing that I noticed when I was like, you know, because it's been like a couple weeks I've kind of been on this subject of like suffering because, you know, rather it's in relationship or rather it's in friendship, rather it's in, you know, just us being ostracized from the world, you know, how they look at us. And all, that's all a part of suffering. You know, obviously we have physical persecution and stuff that can happen. But we also go through like verbal and emotional persecution. Somebody just talking about you can make you feel some kind of way. And it's our job to be like Christ in all those situations and endure that, you know, because it produces, you know, righteous fruit. So in the Old Testament, there was, you know, the way people's relationship kind of was with God. It was like, you know, Moses went up on the mountain and, you know, Samuel was being woke up in dreams and, you know, Elijah was running off in the cave. So it was like this outward expression of like the relationship with God. You know, he always, you know, heard like the prophets. I mean, the kings would go to like prophets to get words from God and all these different things would happen. But, you know, I see a shift in the New Testament, you know, namely because of the Holy Spirit, you know. But back then it was a lot of information in communicating what God, because that was like their ministry. That was like their ministry was to find out what God was saying and bring it to the people, you know. But it kind of shifted with us because, and that's what I'm going to talk about is with Paul, you know, and not saying that doesn't happen anymore. It for sure happens. But there was this shift that happened to where it was like, now there was a lifestyle that came with our walk. Now we have the Holy Spirit in us. Now there's a different type of persecution than there was then. Now it's a whole different ball game in the New Testament of how we go through things versus the way they went through things. I mean, you had extremes like the Hebrew boys and the fire. Yeah, those are all different things. But especially with the day and age where we have all this technology and all this different stuff going on, I mean, people are killing themselves because they didn't get enough likes on Facebook or Instagram and stuff like that. Like, these are crazy and harsh realities that we're faced with, you know. But one of the people that was known for just knowing a bunch of information and going into the tabernacles and stuff like that was, like, you know, the religious folks at that time. So, like, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, you know, and sadly, like, the Herodians, you know. Like, the Herodians, what was the name? Because Jacob Prash is somebody that I like to, you know, listen to. He's from Israel, but we had went to one of his little conference meetings, and he was talking about, you know, the leaven of the Pharisees, the 11 of the Sadducees, and the 11 of the Herodians. And one of the things, like, the Herodians were known for is mixing religion. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of this little coexist type of mentality. And that is one of the things that we're actually suffering with right now, in the sense of, like, we can't be like them. In a day and age where it's like there's so much stuff going on, to kind of say no to our flesh in that area, it can hurt, man. I can't go and do what I used to do. And there's a lot of fun-looking stuff, you see what I'm saying, that I have to deny myself to. And the more I started to understand that, I realized it's a form of suffering. So a lot of people nowadays have that same mentality of Old Testament ministry, in the sense of, you know, I hear from God and I'm going to go start a ministry and stuff like that. But it's a little bit different now. You see, God has organized the body of Christ. You know, there's different, you know, callings, different. So like he said, there's organization now. There's a little bit more collectiveness to the body. But we live in a day and age where you can go get ordained online and then just start you up a church. You know, and these be them little foxes, these little hirelings that put themselves in a position to preach and to teach and stuff like that. You know, and that's why I thank you for, you know, this opportunity to be able to speak to the body of Christ. You know, so, you know, I acknowledge him as being the pastor of this church, you know, and, you know, he allowed this to happen. So I want to take a look at Paul and how he gained his ministry. So if y'all got your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians 2, and then we're going to go 3 through 9. So, like I said, this has been a couple weeks of just kind of like what the Lord's kind of been just pounding on my head. But in this verse, it really kind of summed up what we're going to be talking about. I love the sign of leaves. 2 Corinthians 2, 3 through 9, yeah. So I'm going to start. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort. So when I looked up comfort, you know, it was way more definitions to comfort than I thought. You know, strengthen, you know, support, all these different things, you know. But for the sake of this, you know, something that stood out to me was this strengthen. So moving forward, it says, who comforts us, so who strengthens us. Oh, my bad. Chapter 1, my fault. Yeah, that's my bad. Who comforts us in all of our affliction. So, you know, we're strengthened in our affliction, you know, suffering. So all the things that we go through are some kind of, you know, all the bad things that we go through are a form of suffering. Now, how we respond to that makes all the much difference. So keep moving forward, so that we may have a ministry, which is to do right here, be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So this is how Paul kind of entered into his ministry. It's like, I'm going through this so that I can help people who go through this too. So with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So meaning the same message we have learned and that we went through, now we can share this with people. So now you see a little bit of a shift in how ministry is now versus there. They used to hear from God and receive things from God, and they would rely it to the people. Now, especially us with the Holy Spirit, as we go through trials and tribulations, we can bear witness to, you know, how we overcome these obstacles and how we rely on the Holy Spirit for our comfort. So now it's a little bit more internal. It's like through my pain and through my suffering, I'm able to help you to get through and past what you're going through. So these are the lessons that we learn when we go through the fire. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on in the world. I mean, even in the small arenas. So even in our thought life, you get what I'm saying? Some people are tormented just by thoughts. And when we choose to, like, you know, not lust in our mind, like, there's a level of suffering because that is not naturally how we are. We're naturally going to do the wrong thing. So it's like us having to check ourselves and be mindful of all these different things is actually a form of suffering. So as we go through that fire in these hard times, you know, that's where we start to gain our impact when we do move forward in ministry. It's not necessarily, I'm not against being ordained and going to school and all this different stuff, but we have people out here that do that that aren't even called to do that. But when you have somebody that's really being worked on by God through suffering, through the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, these are the ones who really bring about like revival and stuff like that, and that fire is working in them because they know what they came from. They know what God has done to their life. You know, it's even like in education right now, they're starting to not even look at your degree. They're like, show me what you can do. You see what I'm saying? So you just spent 4 years in there, but you don't got a job because you don't have the application. You never went through the process of actually applying what you just learned about. So as we move forward, verse 5, it says, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, you know, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. So why are we afflicted? Why do we go through hard times? It says in verse 6, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. That's deep. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our afflictions that we experienced in Asia. So think about that. It's like, you know, a lot of people kind of be keeping their mouths like shut when it comes to what they go through. Expose it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not only does it open up an opportunity for somebody to help you, but then it also brings, you know, a level of comfort to be like, you know, it ain't just me, you know, feeling like this. You know, when I'm walking through the mall, like, you know, I feel like I can't even like look up sometimes because it just, and it's like, am I just being religious or is that how the Spirit is really telling me to kind of keep focused? So where it's like, so when we start, you know, relying this information of our walk, how our life is, you know, without trying to be so secret about it, it starts to help and benefit the body. And that ties also into ministry. So for we are so utterly burdened beyond strength that we despair of life itself. So if you want a ministry that is going to have an impact like Paul's, you got to go through what he went through. There was a dying of self that, I mean, he talked about that heavily. You know, we know that Paul was like, I'm no longer I who live, Christ live in me. Like, that's just it. You know, it's nothing that, like, it's nothing that I'm doing. So going on to verse 9, it says, indeed, we felt that we have received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely on not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. So a true servant of Christ will suffer for the sake of others. Meditate on that for a minute. Colossians 1:24 says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ, afflictions. Or suffering, depending on what version you have, for the sake of this body, that is the church, or the body of Christ, Ecclesia. So the King James Version says, now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is beyond or behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. So what does this verse mean? You know, a lot of times we kind of just read through scripture and when we don't understand it, we jump it. You know, we just kind of keep on going, which sometimes that can be okay. It's always good to kind of make a little note of that. But, you know, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Like, that is, you know, that's kind of deep. So here's a clue. We go to Philippians 3:10, and it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We are literally entering into Christ's suffering and becoming partakers of what he went through. Let's not forget that though Jesus was God, he manifested in the flesh. You see what I'm saying? So there were certain things that he put on hold. You see what I'm saying? So, like, you know, the omnipotence and the omnipresent side of Christ was put on hold. You know what I'm saying? Jesus wasn't everywhere at once. He was where he was, you know, but that was for our sake. So when we start to understand, like, you know, because a lot of people cop on and be like, well, that was Jesus. I can't do that. No, 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 no. Jesus went through and was tempted just as we were, but yet did not sin. So, you know, let's break it down what it means to kind of really fellowship with his suffering. To understand scripture, you know, in the Old Testament, I forgot what scripture it is, but it says, you know, how to actually study the Bible. It says line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, really thoroughly examining truth, you know, knowing the Bible as a whole, because, you know, I've even been to places where they magnify certain virtues of God. And then when I see these other virtues of God that I wasn't taught about, it kind of makes me pull. It was making me pull back like, whoa, like, God, you would do that, you know, to the point where it's like, if I have a certain view upon God, which actually becomes a stronghold, I will, my relationship with God will be lacking. You see what I'm saying? So then you have the hyper over here to where it's all truth. And it's like there's no love there. And then you become legalistic and religious. And then it's like, you know, you're so insecure. You have no intimacy with God. You think it's just like, you know, woe is me type of situation. So that's why you really got to have that balance. And it's good to know the wholeness of Christ. So it's like when we dealing with people, especially when the Holy Spirit gives a prophetic word. And I mean prophetic, and I'm not meaning telling the future or nothing like that. I mean just literally a voice box for God. A lot of times, if we don't know the character of God, we'll sit here and judge that person unrighteously. Like, bro, that was kind of a hard word. Well, have you not read the Bible? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes God gave a hard word. You know, Jesus said, who can hear it? You know, but then he also had that gentle, kind, and patient side of himself. So it's like the more we understand God, and this is another way that you can discern and test spirits. It's like, I know the voice of God. Why? Because I know him. If it doesn't line up with his character, immediately that's a red flag that goes up. Moving forward, though, Hebrews 11 even talks about, you know, a list of, you know, the generations of the, you know, the people that came before us in the faith, you know, people that, you know, did outwardly impressive stuff. So it's like, you know, you have Moses splitting the sea and, you know, all this different stuff. And it's crazy when you even think about it, that they seen all of that. Yet when Moses went up on the hill, he came back down and they was sacrificing the idols, you know, and I believe it's Jesus who that said, you know, blessed are those who have not seen, you know, but still believe. I mean, You got manna coming down from heaven. You got seas being split. You got clouds leading you through the desert. You know what I'm saying? And then you're going to twist. So stay encouraged in your faith, man. You know, when you go through these little doubts, don't think of it as being something strange. Trust me, we all have doubts sometimes. But just endure and keep believing. You know, like it said with Abraham, it said he counted his faith as righteousness. He kept on, even though when he was tripping and slipping up and God told him to do something, he didn't do it. Like, that's the, you know, it says he's kind of like the father of our faith. But he rebelled, you know? So it's like we go through these different times. And then those who struggle with, like, depression and doubt, man, we see that all throughout Scripture. Great men and women of God that, you know, were reaching these points like Elijah running off, Lord, just kill me, you know? So it's like, stay encouraged. When you go through these things, it's not something strange. We all go through these things, and this is what we're talking about here with suffering. So that's why it's good for, you know, you that maybe have went through something to be like, you know what, Rajay, like, I was there. I didn't go through what you went through, but I went through something similar, and this is how I dealt with it. Those are good words. But God has given us something better. So, you know, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of outside manifestation. You know, we've seen God doing all of this stuff on the outside. But now, something that we have that they did not have there is we can actually follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We have an example. You see what I'm saying? So, as we shift and talk about suffering a little bit more, we actually get to see what that looks like. Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to read. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That is beautiful. We have an example, y'all. Y'all want to imitate somebody? Imitate Christ. That's exactly what we're to be like. You know, it says that there's only one place in the New Testament that I remember, and Keith, you can check me on this, where it said we was predestined to be something. And it said to be conformed into the image of Christ. So it's like, you know, and that's why you want to come alongside a body of believers that have the vision. Our vision is to be like Christ. Our vision isn't to build up some mega church. Our vision isn't to do this over here. Our vision is to be like Christ. And in order to be like Christ, you will have to endure in his sufferings. So looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame or reproach, and is seated at the right hand of God. So if we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, there will be a cross and there will be shame that comes with that, or reproach. They're not going to like you. Just get ready, get used to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, in spiritual warfare, it's like it's not going to stop, y'all. It stops when we die and go to be with Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So the goal is like not how can I avoid suffering? How can I avoid spiritual warfare? We got to know how to fight. We got to know how to deal with this stuff, you know, because it's not going to stop. So every time someone, you know, gets angry, it's an opportunity to show Christ's likeness, you know, and in that process, we're actually suffering. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like nobody talking to me like they crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's because we grow up being prideful. We grow up having this image, sadly, that we set upon ourselves, which that's an image that has to be destroyed, by the way. But it's like, don't talk to me like some little kid, man, you know. But in those opportunities, those are actually opportunities to show Christ's likeness. So when I respond like Jesus Christ, guess what? That's not natural for me to do. So guess what I got to do? I got to suffer long. I got to suffer long. You know what, bro? Just don't touch me, man. So every time, you know, someone gets angry, you know, let that be an opportunity to show Christ's likeness. You know, so that kind of shifts how you can deal with that. So obeying and submitting to authority is a form of suffering, because guess what? Ourself don't want to do that. We don't want to listen. We don't want to sit there and be like, you know what? You're right when we're wrong. You know, so there's all these different areas, but this is actually a form of suffering. And this is why most people never overcome sin, because they don't want to suffer. They don't want to go through what it takes to really overcome sin. So talking about anger as an example, you will never stop being an angry person if you don't deal with self. You're going to have to bite down and deal with that. And not just stop, you know, responding verbally. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got Buddhists and Hindus that sit there and know how to talk good. That sit there and won't say nothing bad, you know, when they're angry. But it's a heart issue. You know, it's that out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So anger is not out here. But that's what we try to do. Oh, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. But no, bro, you got to deal with the heart, because as long as you just keep biting your tongue when things happen, you're still never dealing with the heart. And to deal with the heart, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to suffer. So this will, you know, so they will obey in many areas. But when it comes to dying to self, people don't want to obey. So we have these different things where it's like, you know what, I forgot the two different ways of explaining like obedience, but you know, there's some things that God tells us to do that we don't got to die to self necessarily to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a hard thing for me to praise God. You know, it's not, I can guarantee all y'all can come up here and he started hitting that guitar, it's just, it hits you. That's not something you got to die to self to do. But when it comes to, you know, like I said, you know, taking every thought captive, you know, dealing with these things, not responding to your wife when she's talking crazy, or your husband when he's talking crazy. Like, these are areas that we're going to have to suffer in. So Galatians 5:17 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. This is a fight. There's a part of us, you know, and let me just kind of break down, because there's two different examples in scripture where it deals with the flesh. You have the physical body, but then you also have the soul. You know what I'm saying? That it's referring to. So it's the self-will, the mind, the emotional side. So when it's saying die to your flesh, it ain't talking about physically, y'all. It's talking about die to you, die to your will. And we need to know and understand that if we really want to be overcomers. So to the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So Jesus, think about this. He, what, 33 and a half years, they say, or whatever. We only picture Jesus suffering, what, in that last little three when he was being, you know, they was talking about him, he was on the cross and all that. But do you not know that Jesus lived a life prior to that? Think about Jesus being a little kid. His brothers and sisters sitting there trying to pull him into sin, and him being like, nope, nope. Since he was a kid, I see Jesus being sinless. That's what the Bible says. So guess what? He was doing that from yay high. But he had to learn too, because like I said, he had that part of himself that, you know, he put on hold so that he could, you know, do what he came to do. So when Paul says, I want to fill up on what is lacking, he is talking about himself. Y'all hear me? Let's look at this verse one more time. Colossians 1:24. But before I do that, because he knew that we learn obedience through the things that we suffer. So guess what? Paul not only suffered, but he embraced it as a way of life. And this is why he was such an overcomer. And, you know, one of those pioneers of our faith that we see that is just like, man, Paul was so confident in God, he could say, follow me as I follow Christ. Do we feel comfortable saying that? You see what I'm saying? Like, guess what? There's nothing different between Paul and us. We have everything he had available to him, available to us. But, you know, minus the physical persecution, you know. But, hey, if that's going to really spark the church up to wake up, then bring it on. Let's go. Let's go, because that is more important. So going back to that, now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body. Who is his body? This is us. This is him saying, you know what? Bring it on for the sake of them. I'll go through it. That is the church. So every type of suffering in the flesh produces obedience. This is the result of when you're going through stuff. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're attentive to it and you're really walking in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to work on you. It's not just I'm mad and it's just like I forgot about it. Even when you don't realize it, it's producing something in you. Later on, it may even be you looking back a week like, I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have did that. And I'm not going to do it again because now I didn't see it then, but now I see, you know. So Romans 5:3-5. And when I was looking up verses for this, it was so many verses. I mean, I love the Bible, you know, so I always throw a whole bunch of verses in there because, like I said, those are precepts where we can just bounce all over Scripture and really get a full understanding of, like, this subject of suffering. So, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering does what? Produces endurance. So now we see a benefit of suffering. And endurance does what? Produces character. What kind of character? Christ-like character. And character produces hope. And hope does not push us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So suffering is something that we, as the body of Christ, need to embrace because it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Are we going to sit here and keep getting smacked down by our lack of wanting to deal with the reality that we're faced with? Or are we going to embrace it? Come on. If it's going to produce Christ-likeness in me, let's go. Keep on, you know. So most people nowadays, you know, do everything they can to avoid suffering. You know, we live in a day and age where, you know, never mind. But it's crazy because people don't want to deal with reality anymore, like at all, you know. So us being the body, if we're not dealing with suffering, guess what? You're not going to grow. You're not. Period. You know what I'm saying? And this is why a lot of us are spiritually not going forward, because we don't want to deal, which one of those biggest things is we're not truly repenting. I have to acknowledge that I'm tripping. I have to acknowledge that, you know, this isn't right. And if it's wrong for you, guess what it is? It's sin for you. That doesn't, you know, that may be sin for Javier. That ain't sin for me. But if it's wrong to him, then he has to deal with that accordingly. Guess what? I'm not his example. Oh, Roger, you do it. Hey, bro, I ain't Jesus. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit going to bear witness to you and deal with you accordingly. You know, follow no man. So this is why, you know, fasting, I think, is, you know, one of the most neglected things in the body right now, just since I've been around. And, you know, I'm not that old in the faith, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, God has been doing a work. But, fasting is something that, you know, you're naturally taking away from yourself what the body needs to survive, like food, water. You know what I'm saying? Like this is biblical fasting right here. So the more you take away from the body what it naturally needs to survive, it's easier to take away from it things that you just want. Fasting is amazing when you understand truly what it does to you. So if I can say no to the very thing I need to survive, me looking twice at that girl walking through the mall ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here, man. I ain't thinking about that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm literally dying to self. You can't walk into no morgue and sit there and have any effect on it. You can slap it, tickle it, whatever. It has no, the world does not have an effect on it. It's a dead body. We're dead in Christ Jesus, man. You know, it's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And we got to keep that mind of Christ and be focused on that. We're not here for ourselves, y'all. That's one of those things that we really got to deal with. Being selfless is suffering. So embrace it. Okay, so think about this. When Jesus was a kid, you know, I just imagine him going to school, you know, I'm assuming, you know, going through up the ranks of that time and stuff like that. So now Jesus is having to submit to human authority. You know, dad is, you know, go clean your room or whatever. You know, like these are things that God had to be like, you know what? I'm okay. Yes, sir. All right. I'm doing it. So it's like these are the very things that I'm talking about. Like when you see the big picture, it's like, hey, man, like, you know, Jesus had obedience when he was a kid. I'm grown. So, you know, I can't see him ever replying back. Obviously, I know I feel comfortable saying it because he didn't sin. He never acted in a way that was sinful. He never popped back or got loud with his mom. Or, you know, I don't see him firing back in a way that ties back to sin. So Jesus' control was not in his tongue. He wasn't just not saying things, but it was his heart. This is what was different. It was the inward workings and suffering inwardly that was producing obedience even in Jesus. So, and this is one of the key factors in our faith. This is the process that we go through that changes the inward man. Sanctification. The heart. You know, a lot of people get mixed up between justification and sanctification. Sanctification is a process. You know, it's a cleansing, it's the fire, you know, but guess what? How many of y'all know we can partake in that? In the sense of like, you know, it says, you know, your word, sanctify them with your word. You ain't getting sanctified through his word if you ain't reading the Bible. So it's like we can engage on that sanctification process. So we know what sanctification produces long term. What are we doing on our end through our obedience and through our discipline to I guess you could say, speed up that process? Because I don't want to become like Christ when I get to heaven. I want to be like him now. You see what I'm saying? Because this is really what's going to do the work of God here. It's somebody who is selfless that really is like, you know what? It's no longer my own. Let's go. And we see the example that Jesus had. Man, Jesus stayed moving. I mean, miles. He ain't went no cars then. You know, like he was walking like all over. You know, now I think that was suffering. You know, so we can do this by praise, studying the Word of God. You know, fasting, worship, fellowship. You know, like I said, the more we come together in fellowship, we're being sanctified in this process. You know, because the word is being spoken, we're hearing from God, we're getting revelation. You know, God is just downloading things into us, and that's going to really help us deal with that problem of self. So, and God will meet us there. You know, y'all came here. God has, you know, allowed me to speak today, but God is here. He's in the middle making it, because what I'm saying right now, God is revealing to you guys individually, separately. You know, you're getting something from it that he ain't getting from it. You know, but that's, it says that the Spirit brings life. So it's like, it's not just the letter, it's not just the words being spoken, it's the Spirit that bears witness and brings life. So, but in order to die to self, it takes discipline. It takes a mind to say, you know what, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. You know, and that's the mindset that we need to have. It says we're, you know, one mind, one spirit, on one accord. You know, that's my prayer for the body, you know, and please continue to pray that. Lord, unity in the body of Christ. Send the laborers out because we need it in this time. I mean, it's crazy right now. I mean, I don't even watch the news, but somehow I still be hearing about what's going on. You know, like, I can only imagine if I sat there and watched the news. Like, that's crazy. I had a friend call me the other day out in Michigan, and he was just talking about all this prophecy of the mark of the beast and, you know, the economic collapse and all of that. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, bro, what is that producing in you? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, is that making you more like Jesus Christ, bro? He said, no, but we need to know this stuff. I said, bro, you need to be like Christ. That's what you need to be focused on. Because when the situation, when it boils down and it hits, come on, we're not dependent on ourselves. You know, if we're like Christ, not only is God going to provide for our every need, you know, but we're going to move and shake in a way that was like, we're good. You know, those who try to save their life will what? Lose it. So it's like me trying to be super aware of what the world's doing. I don't care about none of that. Let's be like Christ today. So John 17:17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. If you want to overcome anger, then you must deal with the heart. You must deal with self. And this is just one area, but lust. If you, you know, if you struggle with lust, it's not about, you know, just not getting on the laptop or, you know, putting guards on your phone. No, Lord, deal with my heart. Please, you know, like whatever I need to do, I believe in those little disciplines of like, you know what you can be around and stuff like that. But it's like at the end of the day, God may want to use you to go sit there and share the gospel, you know, in a country over in Africa where the women ain't got tops on. But you over there lusting. He ain't ever going to use you for that. You know what I'm saying? So I want to, we collectively want to try to be in a position to where it's like there is no limitations on God using me. You know, and the only way we're going to be able to do that is to be like Christ. I mean, that, you know, we're talking about suffering, but the ultimate goal is to be like Christ at the expense of everything else. So just controlling what you say is not good enough because we must deal with the heart. We can't be casual about it either. Sin is sin, man. The same thing, you know, that they used to stone and kill people for in the Old Testament. Jesus said, you know, so for example, it says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you committed adultery already. You know they was getting killed for that in the Old Testament? It's not a joke. Your inward thought life in your mind, that is bad. And it must be dealt with. It was bad enough to get people killed in the Old Testament. If you hate your brother, it's murder. Man, you see what I'm saying? Like, I just can't go around that. You know, I can't be casual about me just being okay, you know, especially allowing these different things in our mind that cause us to think some kind of way. You know, I mean, y'all deal with how y'all deal with things individually. But there's some things y'all shouldn't be letting in your ears and your eyes and your mind and stuff like that. I mean, there's level of maturity and, you know, I'll tell, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. But if you're serious about this thing, you're going to have to suffer, man. Guess what? I can't go watch that anymore. Guess what? I can't play that video game no more. You see what I'm saying? Because I want to be like Jesus. And, you know, it's even getting rid of the questionable things. You sitting over there, y'all going back and forth. You know, is it sin? Is it not sin? Da-da-da-da. Well, guess what? I'm going to put it on hold until the Lord just deals with me. Because I'm not even about to play with that. That's the mindset that we want to have, where it's just like, even the questionable things, I'm not going to deal with it. And I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being legalistic. You know, but he has called us to be holy as he is holy. And it's like, man, you know, we just can't be casual about that. So 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. How many of us are still struggling to overcome sin? Well, this is the solution right here. It's time to suffer. It's time to suffer, y'all. I mean, God is raising up a remnant right now, and they ain't casual about their walk. They're not casual about looking at out here and seeing all of these unsaved people and just being okay with it. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus was always making a decision, rather it was dying to self, or allowing his physical pain, you know, all his suffering was a choice. Jesus made the same choice that we have to make today. You know, are we going to suffer for Christ's sake? Are we just going to continue to try to avoid it? So this is the inward suffering that we must endure to cease from sinning. Now, let me be very clear on this. I'm not talking about, you know, sin in the sense of like, I sin, because I sin every day. I'm going to just be 100 with y'all. I don't practice sin. I don't intentionally premeditate and go out and sin. This is what we're talking about. You know, so because there's still that part of me that I'm dying to, that I sit there and exaggerate. And that's lying. And that's not okay with me, but I realize that sin, I take it to the Lord and I repent. Even in the little stuff. I mean, it's like the little areas in your life that sin and you know it is, just take it to the Lord. That's what grace, that's grace. So we shall be overcomers. And this is the way that we do it. So Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So now we're dealing with the question, are we still struggling with sin? Are we slaves to sin? Am I sinning and I can't help it? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And that's where the body comes in. Look, you're not alone. There's, in my growth, in my process, you know, I've dealt with these different things. But let's not be casual about it. Let's put our pride and self to the side. And if you can't deal with it yourself, reach out. Because it's important. We love y'all. And, you know, collectively, this is, I mean, y'all don't know how blessed you are to have a fellowship like this. You know, like, some of y'all don't. You know what I'm saying? But it's a reality to where it's like, you know what? Let's take advantage of this. You know, we got sound teaching. The Holy Ghost is up in here. I come from, you know, Michigan. Not saying that it wasn't there. You know, maybe God didn't allow me to find it there or something, you know. But for some reason, I couldn't find it. You know, and I came here, and that was my prayer. And this was the second church that I visited. The first one, I was like, nope, in Olympia. My wife took me out there like, oh, this is pretty good. I was like, nah, nah. You know, they was trying to sell me gym shoes at the door. I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? So, so if you truly want to stop sinning, God will give you the revelation that you need too. But that's what he's looking for. People that want to be honest, people that want to deal with self. You know, when I'm out here, you know, reaching people, the people that I'm looking for is the people whose heart God is already preparing. The people that are coming to the end of self, that are tired of being whipped around by sin in this life. And that's where we need to be, especially because we in the body, you know. But there's a reality here. There's still people who are not have not overcome sin. There's still people that have strongholds. There's people, you know, demonically influenced and stuff like that. And guess what? We have the solution in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But that's where we got to come together and be vocal. So the cost of a fresh anointing is dying to self. We want to be anointed for what God has called us to do, no matter what it is. You may just be a prayer warrior, Mark. But you know, you need to be anointed for that, man. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, if you really want to, you know, be empowered by resurrection power, you got to die to self and deal with the matter at hand. So we must hunger and thirst for righteousness. And not sit here and act like it's just, oh, I'm saved. Like, no, Lord, I want more of you. Please, if I'm reading it, if whatever it is, however I'm doing it, I just want more of you. I want to know your heart. A lot of people read the Bible just to kind of read the Bible. I read the Bible to know God's heart. I need to see and know my God. And then when I start to experience it on the inside and outwardly, it lines up with the word. And it's just a beautiful experience when you enter into that veil. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that in a minute, actually. But, you know, sin acted out in the flesh gives the right to demons, y'all. No, I mean, I don't know what y'all experience is with the demonic, but it ain't fun. You know, I never would have chose to operate in any kind of deliverance ministry. It's not really cool looking. It's scary sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So, but this is the way that you give them permission to come into your life. Sin is what caused the fall. Sin is what is destroying these people. Sin is what had you lost out here acting crazy. Why are we sitting here acting like it's a game? We got to deal with that, man. I mean, I remember being held down in my sleep while demons walking into the door. I'm sitting over here, can't even move and all this different stuff. And I'm like, this is real. I'm calling out on the name of Jesus. And that's the only thing that was breaking me up out of them states. You know, so it's like, you know, when I was back in, I mean, I've seen and dealt with so much different stuff, y'all. You know, taking people through deliverance and seeing their body contort and lift up. And I'm like, this stuff ain't fake, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this stuff can get crazy. And it's like, you know, the tormentors, they sit there and they can cause sicknesses and all. Guess what? But this is what gives them an inroad. It's sin, flesh. So it's like, let's deal with this, y'all. Absolutely. Close them, weld them shut. You know what I'm saying? So speaking of doors, I like that you said that. So doors throughout scripture, you know, it always talks about, you know, the door and the way and stuff like that. A lot of times a door is a way, not necessarily like something that you just step through, but it's actually a way of life. It's actually like walking in a certain way, you know. So entering in through that veil or entering in through that door, it's not just like, I'm not saved, boom, I'm saved. It's like, no, as a Christian, we are different. It's a lifestyle. It's not just something we did when we was 12 years old and it's just, I can go on and kind of do what I want to do. So if you have, if you've even felt some kind of way towards somebody that was negative, and you didn't even have to say nothing about that person, but you literally sat there and felt some kind of way, and you end up finding out later on that, you know, you was wrong, even though you didn't say nothing, that should have grieved your heart. Because guess what? You inwardly, even though you didn't say nothing outwardly, you was feeling some kind of way. You was hating your brother. You was, you know, in your mind, you was just going at him. You see what I'm saying? So I know I've done that before where I'm like, I thought it was good enough just not to say nothing. But when I seen you, I'm like, man, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, you know, as Christ's likeness, it's like we deal with that. You know what? Like, I'm not about to sit here and just not and feel some kind of way around you. I mean, because this is serious business. You know, Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, I ain't forgiving you. How many of y'all know that's a condition of salvation? You know what I'm saying? Because no person that participates in sin will enter into heaven, y'all. If you sin over here hating your brother, you're a sinner. And you must deal with that. But guess what? You hating them, that doesn't mean you out there cussing on them and stuff like that. You're just harboring it inwardly. And that's got to be dealt with. So this inward place has got to be dealt with. So Jesus, like I said, we have his footsteps, we have his word. You know, the more we commune with him, the more we start to understand him through intimacy, and he'll start to reveal himself more and more. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's a revelator of Jesus, of who he is. You know, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus via the Holy Spirit. That's like you see the Godhead and all of that. It's just it's beautiful how, you know, God is God, you know. So the game changer is that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you know. There's controversy about was that in the Old Testament or not. I didn't see it. I'm sorry, but if it was there, you know, I seen that they had the Holy Spirit, but then I never see anybody filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't see that, you know, so that's just my observation. But we knew, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So regardless of what was back then, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we can go out here and operate in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and it says fruit, not fruits. It's a whole package. So as we grow in obedience through suffering, that's when we start to really become more and more like Christ. So we must look at the inward person. We must deal with sin, you know, and handle our business when it comes to dealing with self. You know, because, I mean, not dealing with this, now you're infecting the body. I think you said something about that. Like, you come up in here and you're just, you know, just full of all of this stuff. Like, eventually that's going to rub off on those who are around you, you know. And for the sake of the body, deal with it. You know, a lot of people don't deal with self. Because for selfish reasons, you see what I'm saying? It's like if you ain't gonna do it for yourself, do it for your kids, man. You know, you got them in an environment that is just destroying their little minds before they can even grow because you don't want to deal and suffer through not having to watch a certain thing in front of your kids. You know, not listen to a certain type of music, man. Come on, man. What's more important? So you know, inward sin is kind of like a physical ailment. You know, if it's not dealt with, it can kill you. You know, it'll grow. You know, you got different diseases and stuff like that, man. You could have went and got chemo, bro. No, you know, I'm good. Now you're dead because you just didn't deal with. I mean, we got technology. God has given us, you know, minds that he has allowed us to make stuff and, you know, all of this different stuff. Like, you know, but pride will stop you from doing that. Pride will stop you from dealing with sin. So, If you have people that sit here and talk about like sin casually and it's not something that needs to be dealt with, that's a doctrine of devils, man. Because you got hyper grace theology out here, you got all this different stuff that can, you know, you can just pretty much be a sinner and still get in. That is anti Christ. You got to deal with this, man. So Matthew 27:50-51 says Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent and twined and tore from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. So what does this mean? See, these are those verses where I'm just like, what is this? Absolutely. Glory be to God. I'm glad you did that. So let's look at it. Hebrews 10:19-20 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. I pray that, you know, the Holy Spirit is really given a revelation of this, because this is a game changer when you start to understand what's being spoken about. So in the tabernacle, you know, there was a place called the Holies of Holies. I don't know if people, you know, some people know about it, some people don't. You had three different levels. You know, you had, you know, the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies, you know. So in the holies of holies, there was a curtain that dropped down right there and nobody can enter into it. And this is, like I said, I looked into this and they said it's not necessarily biblical, but it's in church history that, you know, the priest, they used to tie a rope around themselves. OK, and because if you had sin in you or on you, you would drop dead when you walk past that veil, and they would pull out your body on a little rope. Like, that's how serious that holy place was. Yeah, yeah, once a year. So, like I said, when I read that, I was like, man, that's kind of deep, man. I learned that when I was doing discipleship back in Michigan. I remember I was like, dang, that's kind of harsh, ain't it? Like, they just pulled a little body. I'm like, what did they do with them? So nobody but the high priest could go in there. So this veil is what literally was stopping God's people from entering into the holy place. You know, so what was that veil? No one in the Old Testament really, that I've seen reading it, got that revelation of what that veil really was. But I believe by that verse, that veil was flesh. It was self-will. That's what stopped us from being in the presence of God. And when you look at that verse again, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So it's something Jesus did by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil. What is that veil? That is his flesh. He dealt with self. He denied himself unto death. That's what allowed us to be able to enter in. So this was Jesus' self-will that he had to deny. This veil, literally, Jesus ripped his whole life. It was finished on the cross, but it was an inward suffering that he bore since he was a kid all the way up of denying his will. All the way until he was dead. And then conquered death, rose from the dead. Now we have victory in Christ. Hallelujah. So when the veil was ripped, it made a way for us to enter in. That's why it says a new and living. You know, so there's a living way. So how do we get to know what that is, and how do we walk in it? There is a new and living way. So now we got to figure out what that new and living way is. A living way is truly the way that we want to enter into the holies of holies place. This, y'all, is a lifestyle. This is not something that we just do on Sundays. This is a lifestyle that allows us to enter into the holies of holies. So, you know, a lot of people don't even want to live in this place. They're good on the outer courts. You know, so you have like the tabernacle, like I said, was like three parts. You know, the outer court kind of symbolized, you know, you made it in, you saved, you know, and then they had like the basin, and you know, the lambs was out there. So it was like, you know, you had the sin, and then you had, the basin symbolizing baptism, all these different things. So it's like, we're kind of just good out there. You know, we're saved, we made it, you know. But then you had, you know, as you moved into the inner court, that's where, you know, they started to, you know, burn the incense, light the lamps. You know, you had the bread, you know, the show bread and all these different things. So that became service. So now you just stepped into the next level to where we're serving. That's where you got anointed too. So now you entered into a realm of, I'm not just a sideline Christian. I'm actually in the game now. Like, I'm actually serving the Lord. But a lot of people don't even understand what's in that holies of holiest place. So, but the holy place is where the true worshipers came in. And we live in a time in a day and age where people really don't know what worship is. You know, I don't take away from, you know, praise and stuff. That's good. But that's not worship. You see what I'm saying? Worship is a lifestyle. You get what I'm saying? This is where it changed the way. This is that new and living way. So there's a way, y'all, but it's living. This is, you know, Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. This is a lifestyle. So true worshipers, you know, operate in a new and living way. And that's Christ-likeness. For sure. So this is not, you know, the most exciting thing, though. So a lot of people, like I said, when you enter into, you know, being saved is exciting. Like, you know what? I'm saved. I'm in there, you know. But then it's like even serving can be fun. You know, I'm up here doing this. I'm doing all that. But that holies of holies, that denying of self every day, that ain't the most exciting thing. And that's why a lot of people don't enter in there. And they don't stay there because it's a lifestyle. That's where we want to be at. That's where we want to live our life from. So what do we got to do that? Suffer long. Suffer long. So, you know, Galatians 5:24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh along with his passions and desires. This is us, or it should be. What most people don't realize is this is a command to die to self. This really isn't optional. Like, it's like, okay, I just kind of want to. You know, there's grace. There's grace. But it's like the more the Lord deals with you and deals with your heart, like, please do not, like, numb the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, what's that verse where it says, like, cut it off with a sear iron, or, you know, numb your conscience, like, with a hot iron, to where it's like you can't even hear. And you wonder, like, man, why am I so, you know, lazy in my faith? It's like because you have literally numbed the voice of God in your mind. Like, he was talking, you just kept ignoring him, and it was just getting quieter and quieter and quieter. Next thing you know, you done backslidden, you down the hallway. You know what I'm saying? So if we don't understand what true worship is, then we're missing out on something. And that's a lifestyle. This is what we want, all that God has for us, right? We don't want nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I want everything that you have for me. So look at what Jesus told the devil. Now, this is very interesting. It says in Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Worship comes before service. A lot of people want to do it the other way. They want to go out there and do the stuff, but they don't want to die to self. I'm guilty. I'm so guilty. You know, people naturally find their identity, sadly, in what they do, especially us as men. You know, that's why when we walk into somebody, like, oh, my name is Rajay. What do you do? Yeah, right. Like, dang, bro, what is that about? You want a job or something, you know? But that's just the kind of the mentality that we have. It's like we identify each other with what we do. But how many of y'all know that ain't how it is in the body of Christ? We identify each other by who we are in him. And that comes from being a worshiper, entering into that holy place where we gain our identity. You see what I'm saying? That lifestyle that really comes from being in intimacy with him, and he reveals to you who you are. You know, when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? After Peter responded, then Jesus told him who he was. So what I got from that is, like, once you know who God is, you'll find out who you are. And I remember I kind of went back and forth with this guy, because that's what happened with me, at least. And I see that with Peter. He was like, well, I'm just trying to figure out who I am first. I said, bro, you got it backwards. You got to know who God is in order to really experience and know who you are. You see what I'm saying? So, but people naturally want to do it the other way around. So, but when you worship God, your service will be way more effective as well. You know, I used to do Christian rap music. Everybody, I don't know if some people know that. And that's when I kind of first came into the body. And, you know, I mentally ascended to kind of just being all over the place. I wanted to do a whole bunch of stuff. And I got out there and I immediately transitioned what I was doing in the world into the church. And they didn't even ask me. They didn't even question me. They didn't ask me, was I saved or nothing. It was just, oh, you're an entertainer in Jesus' name. Come on in and just rock the house. And I was just all over the place, you know. But, you know, what it did is it arrested me in my development. I wasn't able to grow in Christ. I mean, I could only go so far because I was too into self. You know, I was talking about Jesus. I was even getting my word. I was even had started teaching. But I still was hitting this little arresting in my development. So what God did is, you know, he revealed to me that I was in error, and I stepped back from that, and I just started to have Christ formed in me. And when I seen that and I experienced that, that's when I really started to see God really move and operate in my life, and people's lives were really being affected. You know, there was a here and there person to say, you know, they gave their life to Christ, but there was no follow-up. There was no discipleship because I was just all over the place. But when I sat back and started to let God deal with my heart, it became real. You know, that's when I started to see miracles, and, you know, I started to see people being healed, and I started to see, you know, demons being cast out, you know, the signs that it said will follow those who believe. And I was just like, man, like, this was something that was literally hindering me in my walk, you know. And what was it? Self. I still wanted to do something for self, but I just signed Jesus' name on it. And we see this happening in a lot of ministries, you know, those hirelings that just start something, and then it's just like, you know what, but the Spirit of God ain't moving there. So he knew his cup. So going back, so if we want to serve like Paul, like I said, I mean, he's just a really good example, apart from Jesus Christ, the one that had enough confidence, like I said before, to say, follow me as I follow Christ. He knew that his cup wasn't full. So he wanted more. He wanted to go through that veil and experience the presence of God on a deeper and more intimate level. So my question is, do we want that? Do we truly want that? So guess what? You're going to have to suffer. That just remind, I'm just like pounding that right now. Suffering is the process that we're going to learn obedience. So this is how we experience resurrection power too. You know, like I said, when you're fasting and praying and just really disciplining yourself, man, it's like you go up to a new level in Christ. You know, and I've even went up before and then came back down. I'm just like, because I got lazy, you know, and I was just like, whoa. So it's like when I was really just moving and really just experiencing God, guess what? I remember my discipline, you know, and as I still grow, like my discipline was more on point. So I'm waking up an extra half hour early just to pray, you know, taking these simple little steps to just really seek God. So if you remember in Hebrews 12:2, it says that the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So Jesus seen something. He said, you know what? With all of this going on, I know it's on the other side. I know it's on the other side. So he can see past the suffering of what was waiting on him. And guess what it was, y'all? It was his bride. So this is the same way we need to be, y'all. We need to be like, you know what? All of this suffering, bring it on, because I know what's waiting on me. Let's go. Let's go. So in order to really understand this, you must experience it. So I just encourage everybody to start embracing this suffering and use it to shape and mold you into what God has called you to do. You know, so we're not defeated by sin so that we can walk and be overcomers, because the mystery that is hidden from many people is suffering in the flesh. This is a mystery. This takes really like revelation from God to really understand what's being said. Like, you mean to tell me like my pain and suffering is making me more like the person God wants me to be? Because everything in me wants to do the very opposite. So Paul said that was his way of ministry. You know, Old Testament, like I said, most of them, you know, were relaying the messages of God. But through the New Testament, through suffering and enduring, it was producing something in him that made him share his life and help the people that was with him. So you got to think about it like this. How long did it take Jesus to prepare the Sermon on the Mount? Anybody know? A life. He spoke from who he was. He spoke through his experience. You know, I'm for taking notes and stuff, like I put this together. You know what I'm saying? Glory be to God. But it's like, in order to really deal with these things on a level that's really going to bring impact, you got to be speaking from experience. You got to not just be relying information that you looked up on some book or something like that. It's like, you know what? I can share with you because I went through this. This is my lifestyle. I'm a true worshiper of God that walks in that level of obedience. And I'm ever growing. You know, I'm not trying to puff myself up or nothing like that, but this is the reality that we all want to come to. It's like, I want to speak from my relationship of knowing my God, not just me knowing about him. Because a lot of people sit here and be like, oh, I believe in God. But do you believe God? Because if you truly did, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, bro. You wouldn't be doing that. So, Hebrews 5:8, and we're going to finish it up soon, y'all. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Y'all ain't, just understand this real quick. I remember, because like when this hit me, I'm like, so Jesus learned? God learned something? How does that even work? But it says, not only did he learn, but how he learned it. Through his suffering. And what did he learn? Obedience. The reason why we're not able to overcome sin is because we don't have no obedience to do it. Because we're neglecting the suffering process to get there. That's how Jesus did it. Let's follow in his footsteps. Jesus never had to obey anybody when he was in heaven, y'all. The angels bowed down before him. You see what I'm saying? Like, the humility of God humbling himself to the level of a servant. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is just still, I don't even know how to grasp it, honestly. Like, I mean, I know a little bit, but it's like, that's next level right there. He had, you know, he never had to deny himself there, because Father, Son, Holy Spirit were one. You see what I'm saying? Like, they had the same mind. The will was perfect. But when Jesus came here, guess what? He had a human side of him now. And this was what he had to die to. This is why we can follow in his footsteps, because he went through everything we go through. So like I said, this is what they didn't have in the Old Testament. They did not have an example of a person that truly lived a selfless, sinless life. Luke 22:42 says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus speaking to the Father. You see right there that Jesus had a part of himself that he had to die to. And it was that human side of him. Denying yourself will is suffering. And this is where we learn obedience. Christ learned obedience through his inward suffering. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This sums up what Jesus came here to do. So now it's up to us through the power of the Holy Spirit to imitate Christ. To not be casual about this. I don't care how the world treats you. I don't care how your neighbor did you. I don't care what your spouse then said to you. I don't care about none of that. Are you going to represent Christ in all those situations? Because guess what? You have a choice. You can do it. You have the power. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you, which gives you what? Many fruit, but self-control. No excuse. Let's walk in it. So, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing for the glory that is revealed to us. This is the reason that we must deal with offense. A lot of us enter into that flesh because we get offended. We get offended. And really what that is, you know, pride that's backed up with a root of self. The only reason you offended because you think you somebody. You ain't going to talk to me like that. You ain't going to treat me like that. None of that. Die to it. Die to it. Because, you know, that book I'm reading right now, The Bait of Satan, is about offense. It's pretty good, too. And this is how we deal with it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long. If we love God, what does it say we do? We keep his commandments. And then how do we keep his commandments? By dying to self. Which comes from what? Suffering. I'm going to say that again. If we love God, we keep his commandments. And we do by dying to self, which comes through suffering. You're not dying to self if you ain't obeying God. And you get that obedience through suffering. So tear down the images that you have of yourself. You know, this is, you know, the little revelation I had on the way over here to discipleship. But we got to tear down that image that we have created of ourselves, you know, and the image that we have of other people. Because the example that I used with Keith was, you know, he needs y'all just as much as, you know, y'all need him. That's really it. I need you, Phil, just as much as you, you know, need. Like, we the body. You see what I'm saying? But as long as I got an image of you of being like, you know what, you've been saved 20 years. I'm just a couple years into this thing. That'll hinder that. That'll hinder that because I have built the image. And we're told not to have any images. So it's like we got to tear down the image of ourselves that deals with self. We got to tear down the image that we have of somebody else and be like, you know what? Are we not the body of Christ? Can we all move and function? Now, I believe in order and, you know, in services and stuff like that. But that doesn't, you know, there's no favoritism in that. And there should be no schisms. So Galatians 2:20 said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Guess what? Paul had said, I'm nobody. I count it all as loss. It's no longer I who live. I don't care about none of this. It's Christ who lives through me. That is like the most, you know, I think that's a very good example of what being selfless really is. I don't even care about what I want to do no more. You know, I mean, I know that sounds very extreme, y'all, but Paul was just like us. He was just like us. I mean, this is what you're really dealing with. How bad you want this? How bad do you want this? Because it's sad when I see, you know, the world putting in more work in the area of obedience and they don't even have the Holy Spirit. They waking up on you every morning, they're eating good, you know, health-wise, they're in the gym, they, you know, obviously it's not for the right reasons, but they have that discipline. You see what I'm saying? But we have the Holy Spirit that will give us the power and the strength to do, you know, more abundantly than all of that. You know, and let us do it for the kingdom of God, for his glory, for his will to be done. You know, one of the ways that we can do is that stop demanding respect from people. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to respect me. If you do, that's what's up. I appreciate it, you know. But I don't, when you start to absorb that, like, you gonna listen to what I got to say. You know, that's where you start getting in that flesh and wanting to be liked. You know, one, you know, being swayed by the cares and the opinions of this world. You have literally got to die to all of that. I call it the matrix. You literally have to be unplugged from it. And the matrix is actually in the Bible. I don't know if y'all knew that. Old Testament. It's talking about the womb coming up out of it. know what I'm saying? So it's like that world is coming up out of this place where it's like, you know what? Now I'm over here. And it's such a good description. If y'all have ever seen that movie, I'm not necessarily suggesting in there or nothing like that. But like, there was a shock factor when he came out of the matrix. Like he was tripping. Like, and that's how it can be when you truly remove that hindrance. It's like you start to see things different. Like, dang, like, it can kind of be kind of like, okay, Lord, I need you to help me with this right now, because it's like I'm seeing life in reality for what it is. And that's sometimes the little smack that we need and get back to where, like, you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm a partaker of Christ's divine nature. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. Why am I tripping? I'm over here worrying and complaining. It says do all things without murmuring and complaining. You know what I'm saying? Give all thanksgiving in all circumstances. Like, really, are we grasping? That's why I said a lot of people believe in God and believe in the word, but do we believe it? You see what I'm saying? It's not some far away God sitting up on some planet. The kingdom of God is inside of us. Like, let's realize that and have our identity grounded in Christ. So I'm going to end it with this, y'all. In life, there's only two possibilities. Two possibilities. And I suggest everybody read 2 Samuel. That's where I get this from. You know, King David pretty much was being, you know, hunted down by his son. You know, he's trying to take his throne and everything. I know I've told you this before, and probably you this as well. But it's like, you know, his son had a guy raise him and started putting curses on David. You know, David's, I'm not going to say armor bearer because I forgot what he's called, but rose up with the sword to sit there and attack the dude that was cursing him. And David stopped him. And he said, if God has permitted this man to curse me, who am I to come up against God? What I get from that is this. There's only two things that happen to us in this life. It's either God's will that you're going through what you're going through, or he is allowing it to happen. There is no other option. But either way, according to Romans 8:28, all things work out for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For what? Because God foreknew and predestined us to be conformed into his image. You can't share both, y'all. Destroy yours and replace it with Christ at the expense of everything else. God bless y'all.